So I'm very stoked and excited to be here this afternoon to talk about phone number management. First of all, I want to clarify something because this session is not about dial plans, PSTN usages, and stuff like that. If you're into that, you should go to Ken Lasko's talk about enterprise voice best practices. So what I'm going to talk about is what do you do with your phone number or your DID or what you call it, how you assign it, and how you can find the correct numbers to assign to the correct users. You guys are still here. It's allowed to go if you want. Okay, nice. Then let me have a picture of you guys because to see how excited you are about phone number management. So every hand in the air. Just a second. Yeah. Wow. Who would have thought that phone number management could be that fun? So when preparing for this talk, I searched around the web to find how it was done in the old days. And first of all, this is not from my home. And yeah, in the old days, you patched up users, giving them the correct extension, the correct number in the wall. And the funny thing is that the extension number is written down on the port. And even funnier, though, the old one is scratched out. So that's how they did it back in the old days. So I'm glad we have different methods now in global voice deployments with Link. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So some of the session objectives. I want to start with understanding the challenge. Why is this a topic at all? And go through some thoughts about why it's a challenge and how you can overcome those, just to get the trail of thought correct. And then I go to the middle part, go through the tools available to assigning numbers, and also going to look at some third-party tools or mention those. And then in the bulk of the presentation, I will go through how you can use PowerShell to automate this process. I've also written down some key takeaways already here, so you can already now start thinking about number administration is an ongoing process. So keep that in mind while doing this session. And linked DIDs, extensions, telephone, and mobile phone are key attributes to a successful number strategy. And I will also elaborate on that during this session. The scope of this session is applicable to on-premises servers, dedicated clouds, private clouds, and also hosted multi-tenant solutions. Not so much for Link Online yet, and not for what was called hybrid voice that was deprecated. So no hybrid solution, just on-premise or multi-tenant solutions. A bit about me and why I'm up here talking about phone number administration. My name is Ståle Hansen, and I'm from Norway in Oslo. Here you can see our opera house. We are very proud of our opera house in Oslo. So if you get a chance to visit Oslo, it's just outside the Central Station, not far to walk, maybe about 5 minutes, and you can see this awesome building. Yeah. There is snow there. There's the snow. Yeah, it's been warm this year. This season has been quite warm for us. You can reach me on Twitter. I have a Twitter handle, at Ståle Hansen. And if you want to tweet about this talk during the session, please use my handle and the link of hashtag. I'm also part of the UC Architects podcast. Anyone here heard about the UC Architects? No? Yeah. So the UC Architects are a group of MVPs and MCMs creating a podcast. We actually did a live recording here, 10:30 today. And we talk about Link, Exchange, what's new, what's working, and what's not working. Could be interesting, especially if you are commuting and stuff. I also blog at msunified.net about Link and my experiences with Link, working with Link. So I also be a third year MVP. I'm really proud of that, and it's given me opportunities to be here today and talk to you. I've been working with Link since LCS and OCS, and I've been working with enterprise voice deployment since 2008. And in Norway, what happened in the mid-2000s was that a lot of companies moved to mobile-centric phone solutions. So they ditched their PBXs, they ditched their hard phones, and they moved to using only mobile phones on their deployments. And that gave us the opportunity to implement Office Communication Server 2007 R2 and newer servers to not replace a PBX, but extend the mobile solution. So we've been working with the Pure Enterprise Voice Project since 2008, and that's been my main business the last years. And that's why I'm here to talk about this. But before I start talking about it, I wanted to hear from the community what they use for phone number management. So on the UC Architects LinkedIn group, I asked, how do you or your customers manage phone numbers in Link deployments? And the reason for me asking this is that this session, it's no right or wrong answer. It's not one way to do it. It all has to be done according to your routines managing users. So I'm not going to give you one solution that can work every time, but help you maybe optimize your phone number strategy. So we got some responses, and 45% responded PowerShell scripts. So that's the beauty of Link Server. It's built up on PowerShell. You can script things and automate things. But I don't think this is representable for the bulk of the deployments around the world, because I guess the UC Architects member are quite techy and geeky. So PowerShell will probably be the preferred tool. And we had some use, not in Active Directory, but use external databases like FIM to populate the users. Anyone here use external databases to manage Active Directory? Like FIM? No? No one? Two? Four? Nice. So I talked to a couple of customers that do use FIM to manage the Active Directory. So that Active Directory is not a primary source for user data, it's an external database. When I talk to them about phone number management, they say, I can handle this, it's no problem, it's simple stuff. I say, okay, but do you know about the 8 other entities within Link that also use their phone numbers, like dialing conferencing, exchange unified messaging contacts, analog phones and stuff like that? And they go, no. So my hypothesis is that Link is the best source for knowing what numbers are in use and finding available numbers as well. And then we have other tools here, 9% answered that. And they used SharePoint as a front end where users could put in their own number, or they could change the numbers themselves, or other tools that were available. And then you have some doing it manually through Excel spreadsheets. And I find using Excel spreadsheets is very good when you are in an initial deployment. You are migrating maybe from your PBX, or you're getting your numbers, your first range, you assign it to all the first users going to be enabled for enterprise voice. And that's totally okay and fine, but it doesn't scale very well when you are in your second year or third year or fourth year or administering the numbers. So then we're over to understand the challenge with phone number administration in Link. And the main reason for this being a challenge is there is no phone number administration in Link. You only have tools for assigning numbers, but there is no repositories, there's nothing in Link natively that we can use to administer numbers. So The questions you need to ask, and these are from the questionnaire I did, the poll on the LinkedIn group by Sean Harry, a Link Pro in London. So thanks, Sean. He asked, what number ranges are available? Who owns the spreadsheets? Who actually owns the assignments of users and updating the spreadsheet throughout? Maybe it's a global deployment. Is it shared between local resources, or is it centrally administered? So what the IDs are available, what extensions are available, and stuff like that. And using Excel spreadsheets, this could be a quite time-consuming administration effort to both maintain and assign numbers as well, because it's probably not something you do every day. And when it's done, you need to ask the correct questions as well. It's not just a user that needs to be enabled, but you need to know, where is the user located? Is it in a specific region? Should it be enabled for call centers, or should it be enabled for response groups as an agent? And that may give different rules in how you assign the number and what number to assign. Other challenges are, customers are moving from locally managed PBXs to a more global voice platform, and where the old PBX are decommissioned, and now you are centrally administering link and phone numbers and telephony centrally. And it's not the phone guys anymore doing this, it's IT. Am I right? Yeah, got some nods, awesome. So you globally manage your users and resources and also the phone numbers. And the problem with this is that IT doesn't have an experience managing phone numbers. The local PBX guy, he's been working with this for a long time. And he knows how in this region we use those kind of numbers, or those region codes or local numbers. And those numbers we shouldn't assign because they are used by public services or something like that. And they also know that there could be cultural differences between different countries, that you shouldn't assign number with the 13 for some users because that's bad luck, you know, and stuff like that. So when you're managing centrally, it may become an issue. And also you have a dynamic user population. I guess everyone here have experienced that 20 to 30% of users move to different locations, or they change jobs, or they leave the company, or you have new users coming in. And how do you manage that and administer that? So there is a lot of administration going on using phone numbers, and it's a very central topic. Some key concepts for telephone numbering. And this is a slide I stole from Ken Lasko. Yeah, it was a very good slide. So, okay, sorry. So the concept with this is you have E164 number standard, which is an internationally recognized telephone number format, and this is what links think about. So Link always talks in this format. So when you're getting inbound calls, it's in this format. When you go outbound, it's in this format. And also when it's displayed in Active Directory and everywhere else in the Link contact book, it is in this format. And Link needs to understand it in this format. So you have the plus, and you have the country code and the local number. And my recommendation is to be as close to this format as possible when working in phone numbers in Link, because it makes it easier also in Active Directory if you use this format, because you sync your contacts down to your phone, Exchange Active Sync probably, and also you can search the company database with users and phone numbers. And this format works every time, right? Then you have the RFC 3966. You don't have to remember this, which defines the format of a telephone number within the SIP stack. So you have the tel colon, and then the E164 formatted number, and then you have the extension, which is optional in this setting. So if you use tel colon and write that in front of your number in your mail signature or something like that, it will become a hyperlink, which is clickable for direct calling, which could be a tip for when you are creating your email signatures. It's like mail to for mail addresses. So that's a good tip. Numbers in Active Directory. Phone numbers and mobile number in Active Directory attributes are displayed for users. And you find them by clicking on the user and using the drop-down. And you find the mobile number and the work number. And they are displayed in the correct format, and you can call them. Also, if you are have users that's not enabled for link, but do have a work number, they will display in your link contact book. So link is your complete contact register for numbers from Active Directory. And these are just display numbers displayed through link. And my recommendation on this is that you should populate Active Directory with the E164 format, as I said. And you should tell your users to call users and not phone numbers. So they shouldn't be normalized to nice looking, to look nice. But they should look like this because it always works. And yeah, so that's the recommendation about that. So now, know the tools available. And last year, Brian Nis had a talk about voice in Link Server 2013. And it was a really, really good talk. And he had three slides on something I'm going to talk about for an hour and 15 minutes. So, but I want to recap on what he said because it's still true. So we have assigning a DID to a user. And DID is direct inward dialing. And the numbers are globally unique. And the rangers or the blocks are acquired by telcos or the PBX you are hanging behind. And it enables you to have external users call your link users and reach them on link. Right? That's a good way to say it. And it's, of course, assigned to a user when it's enabled for enterprise voice. There's two ways to specify a DID in link. And when you assign it, you can assign it with or without an extension. But the recommendation here is to use extension for all users, even though you are not using them to dial between users, and I recommend not doing that. And if the users are requesting that they want a extension number for easy dialing, preferably you should have done a good deployment with change management and not copying too much from the old system into the new, because link can be used in a different way, and you can think about telephony in a different way than you did in the old days. So as I said before, you are calling a user and not a number, right? So the extension is now more for two reasons. You can sign in using the extension and the PIN code on the Link Phone Edition. You can sign in to and authenticate to a dialing conferencing if you're calling in from a cell phone or external phone. A third reason here is, if you go into your dial-in PIN page, you get a warning if you don't have an extension defined. And that may result in more support calls than necessary. So by defining an extension, you will have done it right, but not because people want to dial them. Okay? Great. So specifying the line URI. You have the link server control panel. You go into a user, enable him for enterprise voice, and then you add the RFC standard phone number formatted correctly, and also with an extension. That's quite easy for one user. And probably it's a number you have gotten from your Excel spreadsheet or whatever, so you have a unique phone number. You can do the same thing using PowerShell. The command let set CS user will do this, and you use the parameter line URI and enterprise voice enabled to true, and you have enabled the user. Notice how easier it is to do it in PowerShell, as long as you know the syntax and the number to add, than it was in control panel. It scales much better if you use PowerShell, if you're going to use this for a bulk enabling of users. I guess you guys know this, but taking it from the beginning. But what about phone numbers? Where are they stored? So you have, if you do get CS user, you can find your line URI again. And you see that it's listed in under the line URI parameter. But what if you, and also you can find the number using get AD user. And if you do use the parameter properties and star, you can actually find the MS-RTC zip line, which is the attribute in Active Directory where the line URI is actually stored. And this is for backward compatibility with Office Communication Server. So you need to store this number in Active Directory and not just in the central management store for Link. So when does this number disappear from Active Directory and for Link? Is it when we set CS user enable to false? Let's see. No? So the number is still assigned to the user, even if you have disabled the user or the user is not enabled. What? Of course you can. So this is for our specific user, and it's specified here. So here you can find, use the filter that suits you to find all the numbers and format the output as you want. What about if you disable the AD account? Will the number disappear from Active Directory? And this is a usual for regular IT admins, if a user quits or are having a leave from the company. The number, they just disable users in Active Directory. So we're disabling the user in Active Directory by using disable AD account. But the number is still there. And I see some issues where they try to assign the same number to several users because they think the number is gone since the user is disabled. So now it's all about what's the administration like? How long should a number stay in Active Directory after users have left or the account be available and stuff like that? So the last one, if you disable the CS user, this is like deleting the user from Link. Then you will have deleted number from Active Directory. And it's available to be assigned to a new user. So it's good to know when the number is removed and how to find it, and that it's stored outside the Link as well. Right? So disable just the AD account. It's not good enough for number-wise working. What about display number for users without a number? Sometimes you don't want to spend phone numbers on users that's part of a response group or call center or a queue, general queue. They just need to be agents. This is from last year as well, where the suggestion were to use the same base number that you want to display out when calling. And then you assign different extensions to those agents, right? Users A, B, and C. And when they dial out, they will display this main number. And then you create and for exchange auto attendant or for the queue or what it is, you have the extension one or any specified extension. Then you normalize the inbound number, and you normalize the incoming number and with adding the extension one. So the incoming number will go to the queue and not to the users. So in this way, you can have users that don't have their own number, but still be able to dial out and display the correct number. But you can also do this using calling number translation rules. And it was a new feature in Link Server 2013. And it's the same scenario, but you don't have to assign the main base number to those users, but use a dummy number series, or they can have their own number, but still display the queue number when dialing out. So then you create a calling number normalization rule, and you add it to the trunk configuration of your outgoing, where your outgoing calls are going. And you normalize the plus 5,000 to the actual number you want to display out. And then you don't have to create an inbound rule to normalize the incoming number. So you just assign the base number to the entity you want to assign it to in a regular fashion. So there's several ways of doing this. And you can, of course, create this using PowerShell with the new trunk configuration. And you have also adding the plus 1500. And you can remove the extension using this format in regex. So it's quite easy to normalize it to the correct number. Then, of course, you can test this as well by one of the examples we had from the previous slide. And you can test to see if it works as you want. And in this case, of course, it does. You can see what the translated number will be. It's the correct number without an extension going out. When you use extension and you use direct SIP trunking, it could be a good idea to remove all extensions when dialing out. Because we have seen in some cases where we're doing direct SIP trunking directly to the telcos over MPLS or other secure manners, where it fails because they don't understand or support extensions. So you can use calling number translation rules again. And this time, as long as the number starts with a plus and have digits, you just remove the extension when dialing out, and the result will be that you only have the base number when dialing out. So it translates just to $1. And adding this is something you do only once. But the main thing here to remember, this should be have the lowest priority of all your translation rules. Because every other rule should apply first, and this one should be on the bottom. And testing this will help you test that the correct number are displayed when dialing out. So this is an issue we have seen, so this is a good workaround for that. So, but in some cases only. You also have some third-party tools for this. And you have Event Zero's Range Manager, and you have a common tool from Unify Square that's part of their PowerPro suite. So Event Zero can install an agent on your front-end server and will check if numbers are in use, what numbers are available, detect new ranges, and also see if numbers have been used at all, or you have numbers you don't own coming in over your trunk. Unified Square PowerPro, they are working on supporting assignments, of course, and also reservations of numbers and tombstoning. So they have their external databases where they are marking numbers for not applicable for assigning, and this number shouldn't be assigned for the next 3 months, and so on. And it's part of their fully automated link user provisioning service. And it also does checks, of course, to avoid conflicts when assigning numbers. And they also want to help with local and cultural differences for numbers. So there's actually a lot of knowledge going into this regarding how it's done in Africa, how it's done in Europe, how it's done in other countries. That's experience you get only by pain, really. So here's an example from Event Zero Range Manager. It's out now. I suggest if you're interested in a third-party tool that can help you get started, they give you some nice diagrams, like what's the allocation of extension, the number allocations within a specific range, how the numbers are actually used when assigned. That's actually a good feedback right there, because that's difficult to find from just the monitoring reports or PowerShell or whatnot. And then you have some other good feedback, and everything is about how many users are applied, how many users are numbers are left to be applied, and what extensions are in use and not in use. So check it out. But then we're over to the main part, the coolest part, which is how can you use PowerShell in your deployments to get started with this and integrate it with your user management software. So I wanted to go through some common PowerShell one-liners. And these are one-liners I usually use when deploying. So yeah, I guess you see it quite good. You can do get CS user, we saw it earlier today as well, where you can use the filter parameter and filter on whatever you want. You can filter. Here I am filtering on, I want every user that has a line URI in my deployment. Because I'm not interested in user not having a line URI, because I'm interested what numbers are assigned to those users. Then I do a sort. I pipe this into a sort object and sort on the line URI. So I get the numbers ordered in the correct order. And I list this using format table and display name and the line URI. So here you can see that I got my users and I got the phone numbers that they have. So it's a typical one-liner I use when I'm in the field and want to find the numbers. You can also filter on like and contains like a country code. This is 47 for Norway. And now I list only numbers that have a Norwegian country code. So in the global deployment, I'm only interested in the ones in Norway in this example. So I use this in order for global deployments where I just want to get the numbers for Norwegian users, regardless of organizational unit or location and whatnot. And the reason I use filter here, and you should always try to use filter every time you use the get CS user or other PowerShell version 3 commandlets or version 4, is that it will get all the users which matches your parameter right away. And not you, if you didn't use filter and used where object instead, you need to get all the users in your deployment, which could be a lot, and then pipe that object into where object to find the ones with the line URI. So the sooner you filter the correct view, the better, the less load it will be on the server. You can also count how many users you have. So in my deployment here in my lab, I have 107 users enabled for Enterprise Voice and have a line URI. So it's you can use PowerShell to easily find the information you're looking for. And some of this information could have taken quite a lot of time to find using GUI-based tools or the regular tools you have at your disposal. And then we have, you need to remember the private line attribute. Users can actually have two numbers, you know. They can have a line URI and a private line. So find those as well. Here's a commandlet where I check if an account is disabled for link but still have a line URI. So I use the get CSAD user, which is a link commandlet, and I check if the account is disabled, and I find the users that have a line URI. And also you can measure that as well by piping into measure object, and you get all the users not enabled, that's disabled for in Active Directory, but still have a line URI. And then you can find the timestamp of when they were disabled and see if there is some users here that should have been have released their numbers. If you have a 3-month period where the number should not be assigned to a new user. So stuff like this can be automated. But the thing is here that these one-liners are good, but they check only one one object, and that's a user. But we have 8 other objects that can have a line URI in link. You have analog devices, common area phones, exchange unified messaging contacts, dialing conferencing access numbers, trusted application endpoints, response groups, workflow, and meeting rooms. And meeting rooms are the link room system objects you create, and they also can have a line URI. You need to remember that. So this is a list of all the places you can find a line URI. So this is not that simple to use in a one-liner, so that's why we have created some scripts for that. So you guys want to find, see a script to find what numbers are assigned? You are? Yeah? Really? Yeah? Good. Awesome. So Lasse Norvik Vedø, which is sitting over there, has created a script where he goes through all places where a line URI can exist, and he lists it in different formats. So here's an example from the body of the script. And I also tweeted this script right now, so you can get a link to and download the script for yourself. So it's available on TechNet Gallery. Just check my Twitter handle. And so what I do when I run this script, I just open it in PowerShell ISE, which is the preferred way to run PowerShell scripts for me, and work with PowerShell at all. And I just run the first commandlet where I want to display everything in the command prompt. So here I see I have 107 users with the line URI. And I haven't deployed any other objects that have a line URI, which is good to know. The second one will output to an HTML file, which can be used for offline use, or it can be a good point to send out to the person in charge of the Excel spreadsheet, maybe. Or if you want to just find what user is having what number. So running that command, it will create a HTML file. You click on the HTML file, and you find all the numbers and what user have been assigned with that number. And also, not just for users, but for all possible objects. Cool? Yeah. So I use this in several deployments where it can get quite chaotic when you are deploying users, you are rolling out voice in different countries, and you're starting to have, there's a lot of people involved, and you don't know what number is assigned where, and did we reassign it, or how should it be, or why are you displaying this wrong number, and stuff like that. So just dumping all the numbers out is an easy way just to check, okay, there were actually two users that have the similar number. The third option here is more for you IT pros, where you can output to a grid view and do a search and find what you want to find quite fast. So here I sort for every user that have a private line, and just to quickly check who has a private line, when you're just working with this. And also I want to check all users having a 20201 in their number and find that. So it's a really good way to find what you're looking for and also make sure that you have all the objects that have a number. He also has created another script called search line URI. So the previous one was named get assigned line URI, which dumps all users. So here is a simple script to just search for number assigned. So running again, searching for every number having a 201, which we saw was just one number. And you can also output to grid view. And this is good for if you want to find all the users within a number range or that's within a specific number series. It's a good way to just dump that out and get the info you are looking for. Cool. So I have created a script as well. I did it first back in 2011, and it's called find unassigned numbers. And what I do with the script is I get all the numbers within a deployment, and I find all the available numbers because we have all the knowledge, right? We have all the numbers deployed, and we have the range, we know the ranges we have gotten from the telcos or the local PBX we are behind. So the script is based on three functions, and I wanted to do them as functions so it's easy for you guys to reuse these functions in your own routines. So the first function is called get unused, and if you don't use a parameter like I don't do here, it will go through all the ranges that are applied. And it will list how many numbers are available in the range and how many numbers is in total and what the number start and end on. And you can also list all the available numbers within that range. Or you can just skip to the next number range and list all those numbers if you want to. So easy way to find all available numbers within a solution. If you specify a number range, and I'll get back to what the input is, you will just get the first available number within that number range. So this is just the body of the script getting all the data. So if you just run this example, it gets the first available number within that range. And a good thing here is don't have too big ranges because it actually will go through each and every number within your deployment. And gets a number. Notice that it's with country code without plus. And that's how we can use it as an integer and work with it as a number. And I also find the extension. So that's just, in this case, the four last digits. So I have another function called getExtension, where you specify the line URI and the extension length. So if your extension length is 4 or 5 digits, you just set that there. And it will go through and find just the 4 digits. It's string manipulation. But it will also check if the extension is used in your deployment from before. So it will actually load all the numbers and go through, because you could have overlapping extension ranges within your deployment. So I need to load all numbers and go through them. So here you have found a duplicate extension. So there are other users in this deployment that has this extension from before. And the reason it's just a warning, it's just users can have the same extension. It's no problem in Link. The problem is if they have the same PIN code. If they have the same PIN code and extension, they won't be able to authenticate correct on the Link phone edition or in the conference, dialing conferencing. So as my recommendation were, you shouldn't use this number to dial users because that it wouldn't work since you have users with the same extension. But for authentication purposes, works fine, as long as the PIN code is not the same. And I output the correct string, so you can use it to assign to a user in the line URI. Also with the correct format, the RFC-based format. Cool? So now you just need to use that in an example. So to go through the PowerShell script, not going to deep dive, but there are some things you need to be aware of. So right now, the PowerShell script is based on the unassigned number function in Link. So unassigned numbers in Link is you can put in a number range, and Link will answer all calls going into that number range. And in Norway, it's like every number dialed that you own should get an answer. So all customers should get an answer, either from an automated response. You reach a user that's or a number that's not assigned to anyone. Please dial a different number. Or as we do it, we redirect all those calls to the main switchboard. So they can get help. Maybe they are dialing a user that has quit, or dialing just the wrong number. They should have reached someone else. So that's why I base it on the unassigned number range. I understand there's not everyone that wants Link to answer all incoming calls. So you need to be aware of what you do when you create this unassigned number range. So if you don't have anything of that deployed, it will tell you where to go to deploy it. So then I have the get all numbers in deployment. It uses that in order to find all the numbers. And I strip off the replace value here is the tel colon plus, which is removed. And then also remove everything that's behind, typically an extension. So I get a clean number to work with. So it's easier for you guys to reuse this function as well and use it for what you want to do. It's just something that finds all the numbers and puts it into an array for reuse. So to get all numbers in deployment is based on the previous slide, where you just do the get commandlets for all numbers that are in your extension with the correct filters, and also streaming in that to the array. So I also remove all, you have silent error handling there, because it's just a simple get commandlet. And if you don't have any users deployed, that's you don't have any meeting rooms, it will give an error that you're trying to do something that's not there. So that's why I disabled error action. Then I return the array, and that function is also used in the get extension commandlet, where the input here is the line URI, and you want to find the 4 latest digits. And then I do some script manipulation where, or string manipulation, where we try to find the last four digits of the number. Then we load all the numbers in the deployment into an array. And then we remove everything before the extension. So we're getting all the numbers with an extension. And as we did for the previous function, we removed everything that is an extension. This time we want to keep the extension. And then we do a for each loop, which checks all the numbers. Does this extension match this extension? And then we go through all the numbers. Could probably be done in a cooler way, but it works. So if it finds the same extension first time, it will display a warning, and then it will break the for each loop, so we don't need to go through any more numbers. Then it outputs the correct format with the extension, and that's what returned from the function. So then the question is, can you use that in a sentence? What's the practical example for using this? So here's a practical example where I have two countries. I have Norway and I have Sweden. They are in this deployment in different organizational units. So I have the Norway organizational unit and the Swedish organizational unit. And we have decided that all users in those organizational units should have a phone number and be enabled for enterprise voice, because that's what we have deployed. So the criteria here is special for this example, but you need to adapt it to your own deployments. So we get all the users within those organizational units where that don't have a line URI, where they are not enabled for link in this case. And then we display how many users that were. And then we have a for each loop, which enables the users within those different organizational units with the correct next number for that country. So in this case, the Norway organizational unit coincides with the Norway unused number range. So we get the first available number in Norway, and we get the extension, and we get the correct formatted line URI. Then we enable the user, and we also assign the number. So we enable the user for link and assign the number. So we typically, when you enable a user, you need to assign the number later or whatever. And now you can do it at the same time. And we can also set the office phone attribute, which is the telephone attribute in Active Directory, with the same number, correctly formatted as we want them to be shown. So it will overwrite what they have or give them their correct number if they don't have any number. So typically, in some customer cases, we also need to wash the Active Directory, because sometimes there's a lot of different numbers in Active Directory and there's no real management of phone numbers in Active Directory. So we go through and shit in, shit out, right? So everything that's in Active Directory will be displayed in link. And I've experienced that some users, you have a calling queue number, and all agents within that queue had the same number in Active Directory under the telephone attribute. And the problem for link is that you have 10 users with the same number. So when some of those users call you, it will display a random name, right? So it's quite in your face in link. So that's why a good strategy for phone numbers in link is really important, right? So we can use this to wash AD as well, but of course you need to know what you're doing in terms of so you don't overwrite something you shouldn't have overwritten and stuff like that. So let's see how this runs. So first of all, we have the Norwegian organizational unit, and we get the Swedish. We get all the users that's not enabled for link. So we use the getCSAD user, which is a link commandlet. Even though they're not enabled for link, they will show up using this link commandlet. And of course, we use the filter attribute. We count all the users. We use the distinguished name, which contains the location of the user in Active Directory, and match it to Norway. So we get the next available number for Norway. We get the extension using the getExtension function. And we enable the user. An enabled CS user doesn't pass through a object. So we use the pass through property. And then we set the user with the correct line URI. And we display getAD user is really good to display all the numbers within link. So I like to use the getAD user, which is an AD commandlet, to make sure I display all the correct numbers, like the name and telephone number and mobile phone number and any other numbers you should have on those users. And also the line URI with the MSRTC SIP line. So we do the same for Sweden, for the Swedish users, matching to Sweden and gets the next Swedish number. And then we, at the end, we print out all the users we have enabled. So let's see this run. So I found 10 users, starting to enable users for Norway. I found the duplicate extension. You need to take care of that. So you see the numbers counting down here, available numbers. Then we switch to Sweden, assigning numbers for users in Sweden. And you see them counting down. And then we display the telephone number attribute correctly formatted in Active Directory, which is the work phone, or it has many names. And then we display the correct MSRTC SIP line with the correct extension, both for Norway and for Sweden. Cool? Yeah. So instead of spending a day doing this, maybe it wouldn't take a day, you can spend 5 days creating a script for doing that. Right? but that's the fun part. But the reason you spend those 5 days is that it works in half a year as well, or next year, or in 2 years, or 5 years. So that's the reason for automating this. Right, Pat? Yeah. So we have been through understanding the challenge with phone numbers and link. And it's cultural, it's local, and we also have administrators that don't have much experience with phone numbers, and they are used to manage users. And the mindset of that is it's a bit different. We now know some tools available to do this. Both native and link, we have some third parties doing this. And we can see how we can use PowerShell to adapt this to our own routines. So now we understand that number administration is an ongoing process. You need to assign the correct numbers to correct users. If they are leaving a call center queue or entering a call center queue, maybe they should have different numbers in order to display the correct numbers when dialing out. And also having control over your linked IDs, the extensions, the AD phone and mobile phone attributes are really a key for a successful number strategy. So it will always work when using those numbers. It will display the correct names when people dial in to you. And it will be a more resilient telephony solution. So my call for action for you, try out Event Zero's tool and see if that is something you want to incorporate in your strategy. They also have an API where you can find the next available number and get all numbers down using PowerShell or other tools and adapt the PowerShell scripts to fit your needs. So that's why I created functions instead of creating a script. So you can just work with the script I created and reuse the functions that I use and adapt it to your needs. So are there any questions? Yes. More recommendation, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't use a common BID with extension. It might sound like you want to
do. Yeah, so the first example from last year?
Yeah. Yeah? So even if you're using the translation rule, you should give it unique BIDs. Even if they're sequential or within a place like it, what it is,
Yeah, so the recommendation here, don't use the same DID for different users, but use a sequential dummy number series. That makes it even more resilient. Yeah. So for yeah, so you recommend it because of reporting reasons mainly. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Microsoft should fix that. Okay. Are there any other questions or comments? Yes, in the back. There is a microphone here if...
you said that it's important to have a different DID numbers for different users, but what happened in the case that we have an executive that has an executive assistant and he wants all the calls to go to the executive assistant? So he is displaying the number for the executive assistant, so that will create a conflict. How to handle those cases.
Yeah, so you have an executive with an executive assistant.
Yeah.
Yep. Would like that too, actually.
Yeah.
So he has his own number and the assistant has her own number or his own number.
Yeah, but he wants all the calls for him to go to the number.
Yeah, you could use the inbound normalization rule then because he can display his number and when it comes in, you can normalize it to go to go to the assistant's number instead.
By the way, when he makes a call out, he will display the number for the assistant.
He will display his own number when dialing out.
When dialing out?
Yeah.
If he has the AD number,
AD number. So you assign one DID number to the executive and one DID to the different DID to the assistant.
Okay.
And then it was like the first example here where they display their own numbers when dialing out. But you do an inbound normalization when the number comes back in if someone dials back to that executive. And then you will force all those numbers to go to the assistant instead so he won't receive any calls. So we normalize hard code that if this number comes in, normalize it to this number and find the user.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
That's a suggestion though. That's true. So we need to avoid that. And don't dial extensions. Yeah, there's probably a way around it. Yeah. So
what's the solution?
What's the solution, Ken?
So you normalize everything you use forward plus, but then everyone tell you where they're using. Don't put a plus in the tell you on it. So that what happens, so you want to get simmering to
No, he you want to avoid because you have overlapping extensions, right?
Well, I have a 164 numbers. I have a third-party PBX.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. Any other questions or comments? Scenarios? Yep.
Do you have any practical best practices of using like repository tools, managing those blocks of DIDs from your telco or PBX you're behind? Best practices for, you know, how to set up your repositories, linking them to your archiving system, your CDR reports. Do you have any best practices around that? Managing SCADs and SCADs, thousands and thousands of numbers.
Yeah. So I don't have any best practices on that. You can have your external databases. And the question was for if you have lots and lots of ranges, you natively in Link, you don't have that. So you need to, I use unassigned numbers. You could use a text file, loading all of them, and using that as an input to the PowerShell script. But third-party tools, of course, have that. So both Event Zero and Unify Square are going to do that. Event Zero can do it today. So check that out. See if that will help you more in a global deployment. Yeah. Cool. So remember to fill out your evaluations. You can actually win some prizes, you know. So Jamie Stark told me today that it was a low hit rate for evaluations. And if you want the Link conference to be better next year, fill out your evaluations. And make sure it's get even better. Okay, I will be in the Microsoft Pavilion after this, so thank you.